So, hello, it's Jules.
And Jem.
We're together and not driving. I think that driving thing was fun, but...
We don't need to do that again.
We don't. That's probably not necessarily a great experience for our listeners.
Sorry, I tried to fix the wind noise.
You did a great job with the wind noise, but our cars are not particularly quiet. Anyway, we have a little bit of news.
We do?
Yes. The last episode, we were driving around in our car because there were people coming to look at our house, which is for sale. And people have been coming to look at the house for
months.
For months. And these people put an offer on the house.
Woo!
And after a tiny bit of negotiation, we reached a deal. So we will be moving. We're now looking for a house in a fairly large, fairly major southern city that's far distant from where we are now. We are in a mountainous part of the south, and we're going to be moving to a much more urban area.
More gay.
Which is going to be more gay, and we hope to help set up a better transgender infrastructure than this particular city has at the moment. So that's our plan. The fun part is that this whole transaction, moving out of this house.
Transaction. Get it?
Good one.
Ha!
This whole transaction will happen, selling this house, moving, buying the new house, and moving into that, all will happen just a very few days before Christmas, like that week. Christmas is a Friday this year, and probably, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, we will be moving.
Will we get a Christmas tree?
I don't know. We'll have to talk about a Christmas tree. Yeah, I'm not sure what the point will be. We won't, all the ornaments will be boxed. Everything will be boxed. Probably the extension cords will be boxed.
You underestimate how quickly I unpack when I move into a house.
I am looking forward to that.
It took me less than a week to move entirely into my old home last time. Just saying.
Well, the furniture will be set up, but the boxes... I'm looking forward to it. Really am.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to helping increase the transgender infrastructure in our new city.
Yes, support for trans people.
So, that's our exciting news.
Hey, this is Editing Gem, and I just want to let you know that this next section contains some really graphic descriptions of recovering from surgery, body things. And if that grosses you out, then maybe just skip the rest of this episode and join us on the next one. And if you are curious about what it's like to heal from surgery in a physical kind of medical way, this is for you in all its detail. Here we go. You're warned.
It's Jem.
And Jules.
And today is... Crap. I never look at the date beforehand. Is it...
Today's the 14th.
It's the 14th of November. The presidential race has been called.
Yay.
The president still hasn't given up power yet.
The president's a baby. The president's never going to concede that he lost.
Yep. Anyway, that's not what this is about. But that's what's going on right now in the news.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, so we're going to update on Jules' recovery. She has been walking a lot this week.
We have been walking a lot.
We have been walking a lot this week.
But I'm a hiker and...
I am a person who hates exercise.
Yes, so I've been doing a lot of hiking this week.
And dragging me along.
And dragging you along for some of it.
Yeah, so you're back to walking, hiking a few miles a day on inclines.
I am, and I like hiking uphill.
Yeah, and so... Activity levels have pretty much returned to normal except for lifting.
Yeah, it's been now, I don't know, 4.5 weeks, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to lift more than 5 pounds. My feeling is that I'd be okay to do it now, but they didn't have a time.
Well, you can ask at your appointment next week.
Yep.
And tomorrow we're taking lovely pictures of your new parts. So many pictures to send to the doctor's office for evaluation.
Yeah, we're taking a whole bunch of pictures and sending them to the doctor's office, and then they will look at the pictures, and next week we will have a conference, and we'll talk about how I'm doing, where we go from here.
Yeah, and you'll get new rules for activity and sexual activity. And
right.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. Just kidding. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's Jem being dry, folks.
I'm the dry one.
Mm-hmm. You're the dry one.
I thought I'd talk a little bit about, because I realized we hadn't talked about it, and people might want to know, where healing issues have arisen and where she's been having discomfort, because I'm the one who's down there putting Neosporin on it several times a day and looking at things and just checking. I've been asked to talk about it. I would say a lot of the swelling has gone down in the past month. There was a lot of fibrous tissue that at first was like, what the fuck is that? It just looks like white stuff, and that's all gone from the vaginal area. There's still some up near the top of the labia, but I think that's pretty normal for the area to heal last, I think. And she had some stitches separating down at the bottom, like fourchette area, but that's also really normal because that's where the skin is stretched the tightest, according to the doctor, and that's where the most pressure is put when you're sitting.
Let me say just a second. Yeah, the area up at the top where there's a lot of fibrous tissue still there, it's white. It's not something I want. But on the other hand, it's hard to go after.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly just come off.
It doesn't, it doesn't ride. It doesn't come off. And also, it being where it is, it's really near the clitoris.
That's sensitive.
And it's really sensitive, and it's really hard to go after with in anything, washcloth or, you know, anything, shower head. You mostly just have to let that do what it's going to do.
But I think a lot of it has come off in the past week.
It has.
Yeah, like okay. I can see your clit, and I can see a lot of the surrounding tissue where I couldn't before. I still don't know where your urethra is. I just can't see it.
Okay.
But well, I know it's there because you've been peeing, so.
I sure have been peeing. They encourage us to drink a lot of fluid. As I have mentioned, they encourage us to get a lot of protein. And the easiest way for me to get a lot of protein at once is to drink fluid.
So,
in particular.
Birds.
So, yeah, this the protein shakes. So, yeah, I've been peeing a whole lot, but.
But I don't know where from.
The good news is, you know, I'm wearing panty liners a lot. I mean, all the time, just about. And when I started out, when I came home from the hospital that Friday, you know, it was kind of bloody. And it was a mixture of blood and discharge. And the discharge is light colored. And for some time now, a week, 2 weeks, the pinkness has pretty much been absent. So it's all discharged now, and it's not as much as it used to be. We're 4 weeks and a half into it, and there's no blood, no sign of blood, and the discharge has gone way down.
And with it, any odor that there was has gone way down, too.
Yeah. I talked to Crystal, Dr. McGinn's physician's assistant, and she said the odor is normal, and so it's gone way down. So things are just getting better. I'm a little bit nervous about the condition of the inner vulva itself because it doesn't feel exactly like a vulva to me.
It doesn't?
It feels like it's got knobby things in there.
Oh, well, actually, if you look at it, there's a lot of stitches in there still.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of trussed up still.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's not smooth in there right now.
No, it's not smooth, and that's been bothering me.
And you have some granulation, too, in the inside of the upper labia.
Yeah, okay. Granulation. Have we talked about granulation?
I don't think so.
I mean, if you go on Reddit, it's about a third of what you see.
Yeah.
Granulation, as either Dr. McGinn or Crystal explained to me, is when two types of epidermal tissue, two types of skin, I guess I should say, are matched up to each other. When they're sewn together, the body is repairing itself and it's trying to figure out which type of skin it's repairing it with.
And it just makes a bunch of all of it.
And it makes a bunch. It's kind of like scarring in a way, only it's called granulation. It's kind of
just looks kind
bumpy.
Of bumpy, yeah. And that can be fixed really easily with an outpatient
procedure.
Yeah, yeah. Just put silver nitrate on it and that's supposed to calm it down a lot. Yeah. So that's not a big worry.
The stitches are starting to dissolve in a major way.
Yeah, I can't see any stitches on your outer labia at all, except down way at the bottom.
Yeah.
Those are like gone, and they've healed really nicely. They've just knitted right up.
Yeah, it looks really almost natural now.
I have seen a lot of trans vaginas because I did a lot of research because I'm obsessive like that.
Yeah, they are.
Before surgery and as things have progressed, to just like compare and see like, hey, how does it compare to other people and make sure everything's okay. And it looks really good. Like when I compare it to the results, I think it's in the top percent of the results that I've seen. Especially just like if you're just standing up, like it looks really, really good. It looks, I mean, if it wasn't for the scars, I'd be like, that's a natal vagina, like it just, or I should say labia.
Whenever something like this happens, whenever my body is really quick to repair itself or to defend itself, I always credit it to the hiking I do. And I just hike and hike and hike uphill, downhill. And I think the exercise has just done my body a lot of good and given it a lot of reserves. And so if you're far enough out that it's going to make a difference, for what it's worth, I have no idea why my body repairs itself so well, but I can't imagine the exercise hurts. So that's me personally. I'm recommending strenuous exercise if you can do it, if you can manage it, because you're going to find that quick healing is better than slow healing.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that's just a thought.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I'm so impressed with Dr. McGinn's work.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I've seen her website, which is honestly like a really difficult experience because her website really needs to be redone. It's terrible. But the pictures are great, though. And I think it's definitely even better than a lot of the pictures on the website. And I've seen a lot of other surgeons' work. If you're going for like a cis girl parts look, McGinn is just tops.
She's phenomenal.
She just did such beautiful work, and it looks, well, I know how she did it now because I looked at the surgery notes, which she provides, but I was like, I don't know how she made it because the types of skin that she uses, it just looks natural. It looks right. Just so impressed.
I feel sometimes as though we're a walking commercial for
for Papillon Center.
For the Papillon Center, but you know, I had heard that she was one of the best in the country. And I'm sure there are a lot of good people who didn't have this reputation, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, who deserve it now. But I don't know who those people are. And I do know who Dr. McGinn is. And I do know how her office works. And I do know her work. And she's just phenomenal. And the people who work for her are just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's my experience.
Yeah, we had a great experience, and I can't wait to see what they have to say next for you.
Yeah, so today's Saturday, the 14th of November. I'm 32 days past my surgery, which was the 13th of October. And I feel just as though, almost as though I hadn't had surgery. I am getting tears and pulls here and there, minor pains, but, you know, it looks more and more natural. I'm almost back physically to where I was before the surgery, and it's just been a profound experience. I know everybody's different, but for me, whose body never matched her brain and whose body was always a source of grief, even from before she knew what transgender meant, this has been just a saving experience.
I have noticed you're just you're a happy person to begin with, but you just seem a lot more at peace.
I think I am. In a sense, I was full-time for a long time, but now I feel full-time. I don't feel like I'm hiding anything. And if I want to wear a pair of tight jeans, I don't have to worry about which pair of tight jeans or what I wear over them. You know, it's just allowed me to finish what I have started a long time ago. The transition I started a long time ago.
Do you feel like more of a sense of legitimacy now? Like no one can tell you you're not a woman now?
I do and I don't. I have known I was a woman ever since that event I've known for a fact I was a woman for a long, long time. Now more than half my life, but I think my big problem is that I did this later in life than a lot of people do. I wasn't taking hormones when I was a teen because this was not a thing then. And so I get clocked. I just do. Yesterday I was out on the trail. I didn't mention this to you. I was out on the trail walking and I met somebody and I could not tell whether he said, don't worry about it, man, or don't worry about it, ma'am. And
oh no.
It sounded like man, and I just tank when that happens. And you know, I've always maintained that transition is about me, passing is about them, and if I don't pass, you know, then that's just not my problem. But, you know, ladies, we all know better than that. We all want to pass, even if we know we're not going to. We all wish we would. I mean, I have not yet met a trans woman and probably not a trans man who didn't wish they passed better than they do. I've never heard of such a person. I don't know. Jazz Jennings passes really well, but of course she's put her story out on TV and everywhere else. And there are probably people like her who pass. You just wouldn't know. But I think so many of us wished we passed. And that's what gets me down. Is even though I know I don't pass sometimes, it gets me down when I don't.
There is no way that he said, man, I saw you, what you were wearing when you were hiking.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. My chest says ma'am, and my clothes say ma'am.
Yes, and your hair, and you had it back in like two ponytail clips, and it was so cute. There's no way that he said man.
Well, I didn't.
I just don't believe it.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that was, wait.
It was yesterday. Yes.
What were you wearing yesterday?
I was wearing a Parvati t-shirt. And
yeah, but there's no way he didn't see your boobs.
Oh, the boobs are just screaming.
Yeah, they're just right there.
I'm very lucky, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, because my family is well endowed mammarially. The women in my family have big boobs. They just do. And so that was never a problem for me once I started taking estrogen. That problem cured itself because I didn't want to. I wasn't even wearing a sports bra. I was just wearing a regular bra under the t-shirt. So,
yeah.
That's it. But, I don't know.
I know, because your imposter syndrome's still there.
It is.
I hear you.
And I just don't feel like an imposter. I feel like a woman. I know I am a woman.
Yes, you are.
But you know, people just, it just takes one person to say that. To say sir or man. He probably said ma'am. So the other thing I didn't tell you is I saw a guy on a front end loader, a track hoe or something, and I passed him when I was hiking, and he gave me this kind of coy, half-flirting smile, and my mind raced when that happened, because it was definitely a kind of smile that somebody gives to someone in a kind of a, there was flirtation in it.
He was checking you out.
And so the first thing I thought was, okay, that might be a woman, because he had kind of long hair. Because, you know, I'm sorry, I've spent a long time presenting as a man, and sometimes your brain just goes there. And then I thought, no, it might be a woman, but it might be a man, and he's gay. And then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. You know, my brain came back to reality, and I said, no, that's a man, and he's flirting with the woman he sees.
I told you your ass looked banging.
Well, he wasn't looking at my ass as I was approaching him.
Well, so. He was when you were walking away, guarantee it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should wear a picture of my ass on the front of my t-shirt. But
I'd wear a picture of your ass on the front of my t-shirt.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, it was nice because I saw those two people. I saw the other hiker and I saw the guy and the whatever that was. His little bobcat bulldozer thing. I don't remember. But he was doing work on the trail.
That makes me not want to send you out by yourself anymore.
He seemed very pleasant.
Ted Bundy.
Let me say this. Down the trail another 100 yards where he had parked this thing, because I saw it on the way up, was his car, and it was a Prius. So
so that means he could not be a rapist or serial killer.
I just don't believe a rapist and serial killer would select a Prius to drive around.
I just don't know why that has anything to do with anything, but I definitely don't want to send you out by yourself now with men leering at you from construction equipment.
Well, he was younger than I am, but...
So?
All right.
I'm younger than you are, too, but...
Okay.
I still want to do stuff to you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting all this. Anyway...
I guess our secret is well and truly out.
So I don't know. My point is that I just think that no matter how secure you feel in your true gender, I think we all, or just almost all of us, must surely from time to time wish we passed better. You know, I would talk to my sister at length a couple of days ago. It was the first good long conversation we'd had since the surgery. And, you know, I was just telling her how much I like my body. And then I said, well, you know, in the sense of as compared to the old body. And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, it never occurred to me that there's a woman alive who really is satisfied with her body. And she said, yeah, I can't imagine there are two on earth who really are. So it's the same thing, I think, with transgender.
That's just the lie that society has sold women.
It's true.
That's to keep people buying clothes and makeup and diets and slimming underpants and workout equipment and...
Liposuction.
Liposuction, yes. So many things we are sold because we are unhappy with our bodies.
That's true.
And I just don't buy it.
And some of them are unhealthy. A lot of them are unhealthy.
A lot of them are unhealthy. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about douches the other day.
Yeah.
People used to douche with Lysol.
It was recommended.
Oh, my gosh.
By Lysol, I think. And by doctors.
It's just beyond imagining that
poor people vaginas
ever thought of douching with Lysol.
Or really douching at all.
Well, douching at all, but I mean, if you do it with water, at least...
Yeah.
You know, at least you're going to leave a lot of the necessary microbes up there. But Lysol, not only is it going to kill the microbes, it's going to kill a lot of the healthy skin cells you have.
Mm.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, they're going to tell you about douching at this appointment.
Yeah, I guess they'll talk about douching.
You get to start doing that.
Yeah, I assume it's not with Lysol. I assume it's going to be with water. Yeah. Maybe saline or maybe something.
We'll find out what her protocol is.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we just have the bidet.
Which is not really a substitute for a douche.
No.
By the way, we have already recorded a number of episodes that have nothing to do with either one of us directly. Well, at least they don't have to do with this. We have started off this podcast with this lengthening series on gender reassignment surgery, or whatever you call it. Dr. McGann insists we call it vulvoplasty.
Vulvovaginoplasty.
Vulvovaginoplasty. And so we can try to call it that, but
it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
In but, more ways than one.
But this oh my gosh. So anyway, oh gosh, where was I?
I don't know. You're thinking about something else now. Sidetracked me with
that comment. Yes. But anyway, yeah, this podcast really was intended to be about being transgender in the South. And we have episodes that we have recorded, and we have ideas for episodes we have not recorded. And if anyone has an idea for an episode,
or you grew up in the South and you're trans and you'd like to share your story.
Yeah. We are at transinthesouthpod.
P-O-D. At gmail.com.
At gmail.com. And email us. We will consider your suggestion.
We would love to hear from any of our listeners, because right now it feels like we're speaking into the void.
It always does at the beginning of a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, so that's our podcast for this evening, the 14th of November, 2020. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.